It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are oft injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, you know, since, Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say Worldwide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Less than 10 minutes. Grant is here. Grant, yesterday, Alex Anthopoulos spoke about a variety of things. I want to start with his thoughts on Sean Murphy. What did you make of this when he talked about, you know, they knew Murphy said the hip finally bothered him enough that he needs to get this procedure done, but it's bothered him for 3 years. We didn't know. Did you know? Did anybody know?
No, that was a surprise. And even heard from Brian Snitker before the game today. He said when he got a call yesterday morning that this was the severity of this injury, he was as surprised as anyone, because Sean Murphy, I think over time, and I think it's important to kind of look at what the injury is now and maybe what it was 3 years ago or last year or the year before last. I think it's gotten progressively worse. And a catcher, that's a different variety of tough player, because you basically sign up to get punished for 162 games if that's what it calls for. Typically, as we've talked about a lot, you don't want to put a catcher through that many reps, but whatever you're doing back there, you're taking more physical abuse than any other position. So I feel like from this, and we haven't gotten to talk to Sean Murphy, who will undergo his season-ending procedure on Thursday in Nashville, that he may have just felt like, hey, this is just a kind of a chronic thing that I'm dealing with for a number of years, and then it got worse somehow. And the doctors were, I think, amazed that he was able to play through this issue. And Brian Snitker said today, I mean, he was popping up and throwing as well as anybody in the league. You wouldn't be able to really tell until he finally basically got to that point where it was like, look, I've started getting treatment a couple of weeks ago specifically for this, and I was going to ask for an MRI, but I want to finish the season. And the Braves basically said, look, there's nothing to be gained by you going out there for three more weeks. Let's go ahead and get the imaging now. And it revealed that Sean Murphy is one tough dude, is probably the shortest way to put it. But yeah, he went through a lot for 3 years. Now we can unpack what that means and what the ramifications were for a variety of different reasons, but that's kind of where it falls with Sean Murphy, and a very, very, I think, surprising announcement, at least as far as the severity of this injury is concerned.
And Grant, not to be a bigger conspiracy theorist, but with, I mean, a player sometimes, you know, hey, here's a guy who's with Oakland, now he's in the Braves, a much better organization, you know, better chance for your career. I mean, is there any chance that there was a pre-existing condition that they missed?
No, I don't think so. I mean, this is a question we'll have to kind of ask and delve into, and I don't know that we ever get an answer that goes that deep and you know, would validate that question. Is it worth asking? Yeah, I mean, it absolutely is, because you start hearing, oh, well, he felt this in the offseason of 2022. What happened? Oh, he got traded to the Braves in the offseason of 2022. But he has said that it was something that kind of came and went in terms of it bothering him really, I think, at all. So I don't think that this was, hey, my hip is torn up 3 years ago and I'm just going to somehow magically Superman my way through that for 3 years. I mean, there's limits to the human body, and I don't think he would have been able to catch if it were this bad for that long. And if you look at Sean Murphy's arrival in Atlanta, I mean, that first half in 2023 was the best stretch of his entire career. He started the All-Star game. So I don't think it was at that point at that time. But over the last couple of seasons, I think, and this year in particular, it has gotten worse.
Yeah, I said to Mike, he had a good July. August was good until it wasn't, and it started bothering him. But I don't know if fans are paying as much attention because of where we are in the standings. But I agree with you. I just hope he's going to be ready for spring training. Let me ask you about Snit and his future, because Alex addressed that in a very broad comment, saying he's going to be a Brave for life. Well, we know that. Does that mean he's back? And Alex kind of said, well, look, we'll address this in the offseason. Do you feel like there's been any conversations whatsoever in regard to Snit?
I think that there have to have been different conversations to different levels. But in terms of a decision-making conversation, I don't believe that that's happened yet. So there's a lot in that, obviously, because, you know, some of the questions that were asked to Alex was, well, have you kind of started thinking about the background? He's never publicly going to come out and say, yeah, we've been preparing for life after Snit so we can be ready to, you know, hit the ground running before the, you know, the body's even cold, as, you know, some of these transactions go. And with, you know, this is not a case of, hey, a manager didn't meet expectations and we're going to fire him and move on to somebody else. this is a highly appreciated and decorated member of an organization for 49 years. So it is unorthodox, would probably be the best way I could describe it. But something worth noting and worth thinking about is after the Cubs are done here, the Houston Astros come in and Brian Snitker's son, Troy, is on that coaching staff. It'll be interesting to kind of see, and this is something that Snit alluded to in one of those Apple TV broadcasts that everybody hates and don't necessarily watch and catch every minute of it. But he did say, like, we need to get the family together and have some conversations. And the only way to get Troy involved in that is to have him in town. So this could be kind of a jumping off point for letting us know what the final couple of weeks of the season is going to look like. Snit is not a me first guy. Right. He wasn't looking for a farewell tour of all 30 cities where they give him, you know, gifts and all these other things. I mean, this is not like when Chipper Jones announced his retirement. He very much, I think, wants to keep it close to the vest and wants to go about his business. And I think we'll get the answer to our question sooner than later. But for a lot of people, the suspense has certainly played out in a way that has them continuing to ask the questions.
Right. Remember, I think San Diego gave Chipper a surfboard on that farewell tour.
Yeah, I'm sure he's used that a lot.
I mean, I would think guys would just give Snit like Walmart gift cards. It is Grant McCauley with us, guys, talking about it. Because, yeah, I mean, just hypothetically, Grant, you might want to raid somebody. If you did, you know, first off, do you feel the organization would go outside the organization if they do go for a successor to Snit?
I think it needs to be a conversation. You need to have a full-on, you know, search put together. You don't need to hire a third-party firm. I think they're capable of doing it. Do they have somebody in-house in Walt Weiss that is going to be a conversation, an interview when Snit's time and tenure is over? I think so. But that doesn't mean that he's necessarily the odds-on favorite to get that job. I feel like, I mean, Skip Schumacher is certainly a name that's been thrown around. David Ross has ties to the Braves organization and managerial experience. A lot of people have talked about Mark DeRosa. I don't necessarily see that one as being quite a fit, but if we're playing the game, and I forget what show it was. Is it Always Sunny where the guy has all of the pictures and string together on the wall and he's smoking the cigarette and looking at it and trying to connect everything? I don't think we've reached that point in this search yet, but they're going to talk to some different people, I think, and, you know, broaden their horizons as they need to decide who the best person is to lead this organization in the future when it's time to make that change.
Grant McCauley joining us here on Dukes and Bell. More conversation coming up about the Falcons and certainly what we learned from the Vikings game last night with the Bears and what we saw from a quarterback that everybody keeps saying is going to get better, and I don't know if he is. Grant, let me ask you about Drake Baldwin. Rookie of the year, hands down, yes?
I think that he's the odds-on favorite for me. We are going to see this kid, Cade Horton, pitching for the Cubs again tonight. He was good against the Braves last time out. He's getting the Braves again. Well, being familiar with him, help Atlanta out because Horton's been on a nice 9, I believe, start run it is. But I look at the overall value, and then I look at the context of what Drake Baldwin has done playing catcher, a demanding position from opening day on. Clearly the Murphy story is part of this now because, hey, look, the Braves had an all-star gold glove catcher that Drake Baldwin had to come in and replace. And he's done a terrific job of, you know, carrying that load as a young player in his first taste of the big leagues. If you want to look at the overall, you know, counting stats, he's way up there among rookies. If you look at the wins above replacement, he has Cade Horton by, I believe, a full win. And if you look at different modalities of that, maybe more. But either way, this is an extremely valuable player playing a demanding position in his first taste of the big leagues and doing it at a very high level. I think it's Drake Baldwin. That's a long answer that could have been a short answer, but that's right. Those are the reasons why I think it's Drake Baldwin.
More Falcons talk coming up. And one thing we did learn is it gets us an extra first-round pick. That's the idea. The motivation is to keep you from holding guys like they held back Acuna and getting your young stars out there sooner.
Yeah, and they've done a lot of adjustments to that, I think. In the rookie of the year, motivation is part of that as well. I think that in general, the service time manipulation, and clearly the players' union hates it, so they've looked to find ways to mitigate it. But, yeah, whether it was Ronald Acuna Jr. or Chris Bryant, I mean, that was a whole debacle for the Cubs prior to winning the World Series. But I think we're seeing less and less and less of that. But you can't blame a club for thinking, all right, well, if we wait 3 weeks, we get an extra year of a player. Most teams, if they're acting responsibly on their side of it, are going to find ways to hold on to their valuable assets, and these young players clearly are.
When are you on this weekend?
I will be on this weekend, Saturday at noon. And so we'll have 1 hour of From the Diamond. Obviously, we're wrapping things up for the baseball season for the Braves, and college football and the NFL are in full swing. So I've got some other things on my plate for the weekend, but I do have some very good stuff that I've been able to pick up this week. I had a long conversation with Austin Riley about his injury, about his hitting adjustments that he wants to make this winter, and how he's going to be feeling heading into spring training. I've also caught up with Michael Harris to get a little bit more on.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are oft injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, since Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say World Wide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On his interactions with Chipper Jones and how that may have unlocked some things in his swing. And we'll unpack all of the things Alex Anthopoulos had to say this week as well. So that's From the Diamond at noon on Saturday right here on 92.9 The Game.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot. Hey, man, Grant, great job. We'll talk to you soon and see what we do against the Cubs tonight. Appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks as always, guys. Take care.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
My job is to try to get us to a championship. That's all I care about. Because remember, when they fired Tibbs, what they said in their PR statement that they put out, and that was, we're all about championships, and I'm paraphrasing. We want to win a championship, and the reason we essentially fired the coach is we don't think he can get us there.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.